This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Georgia Republican Congressman Tom Price, who represents the Peach State's 6th Congressional District. He's also the chairman of the Republican Study Committee, the Coalition of House Conservatives. But as of the next Congress, he will be ahead of the GOP Policy Committee, a member of the Republican House leadership, which, of course, is returning to the majority. On top of all that, he's a practicing physician. And today we want to get his reaction to Monday's decision from federal district court judge Henry Hudson that the individual mandate portion of the president's health care plan is in fact unconstitutional. And Congressman, it's always great to have you with us.
Thanks, Greg, so much. Good to be with you again.
As both sides have pointed out here, two judges have said it is constitutional. Now one says it's not. Everyone expects us to go to the Supreme Court. So how much has the momentum really shifted here?
Well, I think in a big, big way. This really validates the concerns and objections that so many of us had about the questionable constitutionality of the bill. This test case here in Virginia is different than the other ones that have come forward because it's being brought by a part of the republic, part of the federation of the government, a state, and it's being brought by that state's attorney general. The Commonwealth of Virginia passed a law that said that none of their citizens should be required, forced by the federal government, to purchase a certain kind of health coverage, and this bill in Washington violated that state law. And so the judge, I think, ruled correctly, and as we had predicted.
As a member of the medical community, how does this decision strike you and your fellow doctors? How important is it to get this settled for those who are actually performing the medical care?
Well, there are doctors all across the political spectrum, but I think from my perspective, I believe that the law that was passed and signed by the president, and that has now been challenged positively, I think, in Virginia, in the federal court there, significantly compromises the ability of physicians to provide independent quality care. It cedes, in essence, the definition of what constitutes quality care from patients and families and doctors, and sends it to the federal government. And I simply believe that's wrong. I think the vast majority of the American people believe that that is wrong, and that's basically what the court said, is that the federal government can't dictate to individual citizens what kind of health coverage they must purchase.
In terms of the intervening, I guess, 3 years now before this were to take effect, what do you hope to have achieved well before 2014 if the court doesn't do this?
Well, I think the court will. I think this Supreme Court ultimately, which is where it will end up, ultimately will find that, in fact, that individual mandate is unconstitutional. Once that is determined with finality through the Supreme Court, then the rest of the bill comes tumbling down because it's truly a house of cards. Its linchpin is this individual mandate, which I believe in the court found yesterday to be unconstitutional. The reason for that is that every way that they solve, quote-unquote, the challenges that we have in the current system, whether it's access, whether it's portability, whether it's pre-existing, all those kinds of things, they solve by forcing people to purchase health coverage and making that health coverage available by forcing insurance companies to provide it. Now, there are wonderful ways to solve this without putting the federal government in charge. They chose to put the government in charge. We believe it ought to be done by putting patients and families in charge.
Just today, in fact, in the Washington Post, an opinion piece by the Secretary of HHS, Kathleen Sebelius, and Attorney General Eric Holder said that they don't think this argument, this decision from the judge, is going to pass constitutional muster. You obviously disagree, as you explained before. They say that since everyone eventually is going to need health care, that this is different from other pieces of commerce that could be eventually undertaken underneath the Interstate Commerce Act, and they once again brought up the issue of driver's licenses as an analogy. What do you make of them saying this is a unique commodity, essentially?
Well, it just is a violation of the principles that we hold dear. Never before in this country have we said that by virtue of being a United States citizen, not by virtue of purchasing a car or a home or a piece of property or anything else, but by virtue of being a citizen, of breathing in this country and being a legal citizen, you must purchase a product and this is what it must be. We've never said that before. And that's what the court found yesterday, that is a stretch beyond anything that we have ever done before and is unconstitutional. If the federal government is allowed to stipulate that under penalty of law, every single citizen must do X, and that is purchase a product or a service, then there is no limit to the power of the federal government our democracy, our republic, our form of government, our form of freedom and liberty is truly at risk right now. And that's what the court recognized yesterday. That's why I was so heartened by its decision.
We're talking with Georgia Congressman Tom Price. And Congressman, of course, some of the biggest issues here in the lame duck session revolve around the tax compromise that has passed the Senate and now will face, I guess, a fiercer debate in your chamber on the House side, as well as what we are just starting to learn about, what many Republicans consider an unacceptable continuing resolution to keep funding the government past this week. Let's take them quickly one at a time. What do you expect to happen on the tax debate?
Well, the tax debate, I think, is a work in progress right now. We haven't seen a final bill that the House Democrats will bring to the floor, understanding that they're still in charge. President Obama remains in the White House. Speaker Pelosi remains in charge here in the House, and she can do whatever she wants to do and has shown time and time again that she has no desire to listen to either her constituents or to the American people. So we'll see what they bring to the floor. I believe that the real battle is trying to make certain that we, as representatives, prevent an Obama-Pelosi Reid tax increase. That's my goal, is to make certain that no taxes are increased on American citizens or American businesses at a time of economic challenge.
And one of the things we're hearing is that House Democrats may grudgingly go along with this if they can get Republicans to relent a little bit on the estate tax component of this. They want a higher percentage and perhaps a lower exemption. I don't know the exact details. Are Republicans ready to deal on that at all, or is this going to be as is?
Well, I think the deal is already, the negotiations have already occurred. A 35% tax rate on anything over a $5 million estate, which remember, these are family farms. These are family small businesses. It's the corner store. It's the Christmas tree farm. It is all of those things that make this country so great in the area of small business. And right now what happens, if we were to return to the high levels that the Democrats, the highest levels that the Democrats want, then in fact we would see once again families having to sell the asset, sell the business, sell the farm in order to pay the federal government. That's unconscionable. That's just wrong-headed policy. It doesn't promote economic growth, and it doesn't promote the kind of ingenuity and entrepreneurship and hard work that we say that we want. So any significant any increase from the 35% rate, I think, is not something that we could support in our conference.
Final question before we let you go, sir, and that deals with the continuing resolution. The details are still a bit sketchy right now, but it sounds like Republicans are not ready to go along with what the Democrats are proposing here. What can you tell us?
Well, most people think that it's turkey for Christmas, but here in Washington, from a Democrat standpoint, it's pork for Christmas, and they're reportedly larding up this bill to a fare-thee-well. One last dance before they get out of town, and before in the House they lose their majority. Clearly, the Speaker wants to purchase votes, and that's what she's attempting to do. But it's unacceptable. They didn't pass a budget. They didn't pass a single appropriations bill for the first time in history, since the '74 Budget Act, at least. Prior to the election and prior to the end of this year. So they're stuck now with this continuing resolution, and they want to increase the amount of spending. The American people have said loudly, we need to decrease spending, not increase it.
Congressman, we appreciate your time as always, sir. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks, Greg. Take care. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, sir. Georgia Congressman Tom Price represents his state's 6th Congressional District, rising chairman of the GOP Policy Committee, currently the chairman of the Republican Study Committee, and he's a practicing physician. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.